want to turn, please, again to God's Word, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. And I want to take as my text the words of verses 15 and 16. Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come and consider these words together. Let us pray that there will be a fresh word from the Lord to our hearts. Our gracious Father, we pray that in this season remaining in our meeting, that thou will be pleased to come near. And Lord, we pray that the truths in these words before us would be impressed afresh upon our hearts. And O Lord, we pray that not only will we hear the words, but we will lay them up in our hearts, and Lord, that we will go even from this place with that renewed determination to shine for thee in this evil day. Grant help, we pray, from on high. Give that needed help of the promised Holy Ghost, we pray in our Lord's great name. Amen. Amen. During the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, he emphasized that the Lord's people, the believer, the Lord's people are not to be ashamed of him. Mark 8:38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Those that are ashamed of Christ, Christ says, he will be ashamed of them. What challenging words those are. What thought-provoking words those are. Do we blush when people associate us with the Lord? Do you blush when there are those that connect you with the things of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not sure if this is what Isaac Watts had in view when he said in that hymn that we have just been singing, thus might I hide my blushing face. While his dear cross appears, dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt my eyes to tears. Certainly he is saying that the cross causes us to be ashamed of our ashamedness. The cross causes us to be broken over our blushing. Paul says here, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In this chapter, Paul is showing his readiness to go to the city of Rome and preach. Should the Lord open up that door, Paul was ready to go. Of course, the Lord opened up the door to go to Rome in a way that he had not anticipated, and yet the Lord did in his perfect time bring him to Rome. In verse 10, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. So he's saying, I want you to pray with me, that whatever means, by any means, by whatever means the Lord would have to bring me to you, may it be so. And the Lord brought Paul to Rome. A prisoner. The Lord brought Paul to Rome following shipwreck. wasn't Paul's plan, but that was what the will of the Lord was for him. In verse 13, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was left hitherto, or I was hindered, I was prevented." And so on these past occasions, it wasn't God's timing. But in God's perfect time, Paul was brought to minister in the city of Rome. And as Paul here was writing to the Romans, not having come as yet, he is saying, "I'm ready. When the Lord opens up that door, when the Lord gives me the opportunity, I'm ready." Verse 15, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." I'm willing. I'm eager. And Paul has sent out and preached in many places. And I'm ready to preach the gospel in Rome as well. Ready to preach the gospel. And that word gospel is actually one of the key words of this particular chapter. In verse 1, Paul describes himself as being separated unto the gospel of God. He refers in verse 9 to the gospel as the gospel of God's Son, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this verse 15, he is ready to preach the gospel. And then in verse 16, he is not ashamed of the gospel. Now, why was it that Paul was so eager? Why was it that Paul was willing, despite hardship, to go and to preach the gospel in the city of Rome? Paul was eager because he was not ashamed of the gospel. Paul was not half-hearted about the gospel. Paul was proud of the gospel. We could say, if we turn this around, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I am proud of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Not ashamed. Not half-hearted. And therefore, eager. Eager. As we think of this beautiful statement, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," the opposite of this is not, "I am proud to be a Christian." The opposite of "I am not ashamed of the gospel" is, "I am ready to preach the gospel." So the opposite of saying, "I am ashamed, I blush," is, "I'm passionate to spread the gospel." You see that as we see this connection between verses 15 and 16. I am ready to preach the gospel because I'm not ashamed. If Paul had been ashamed, then he was not ready. He was not willing. And perhaps in these days, as we search our hearts and we ask, "How often do I speak for the Lord? How often do I seek to win souls for the Lord?" Is that lack because we can't identify fully with what Paul is saying? "I'm not ashamed." Is there some blushing? The title of the message then, simply, "Paul ready to preach because he is not ashamed." Gospel. Paul ready to preach because he's not ashamed of the gospel. I want to say, first of all, Paul was not ashamed because of its power against the forces of darkness. Paul was not ashamed because of the great power of the gospel, the strength of the gospel against the forces of darkness. He says in verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God." And this word "power" is the word from which we get our word "dynamite." And so the idea of energy. Great strength is certainly in this particular Greek word. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. Now remember, Paul is talking here about his desire to come to the city of Rome. Now what he's saying here about Rome and his desire to come, of course, applies to everywhere. And yet as Paul thought of the city of Rome, he could rightly say there are great forces. There are great powers in the city of Rome. Rome was a city of military power. Seat of the Roman army. It was also a city of great academic authority. It was a place that prided itself in its culture, its poets, its painters, its orators, its historians. Paul was not going to Rome to see its great architecture, though undoubtedly there is great architecture in that city. He was not going seeking to impress its philosophers. Paul desired to go to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. To preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And many people in that city would blush at such a message. And yet Paul could say, I am not ashamed. I will preach it because it is the power of God. It's the gospel that can take on those great latent powers of Rome, of imperial Rome. And the gospel is still such a message today. We see great forces of wickedness. We see strength in governments and various bureaucracies. We see strength in academia. But here is good news. The gospel is able to break through all of those. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God. He could go to people who considered themselves to be the wise and learned. And yet, if they looked at Paul as being an ignorant man, Paul would continue to preach. Now, Paul was certainly not an ignorant man. Paul was determined to preach the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. When Paul went to the city of Athens, they called him a babbler. A babbler. But he was not ashamed. When the apostles preached in the opening chapters of Acts, they were considered to be unlearned and ignorant men. But they were not ashamed. Preached on because they saw the great power in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dan Crawford was a famous missionary to the Congo and some of the inner regions in the continent of Africa. And concerning these words before us tonight, he said, Paul's headquarters were heaven. Paul's headquarters were heaven. And what he meant by that was that as Paul felt his commission to go to Rome and to every other place that he was sent, Paul recognized that his orders came from heaven. He therefore was not seeking to please some city councillor. He was not seeking to please an emperor. He was not seeking to please the chancellor of the university. Paul's desire was to please the Lord. Does Paul considered the gospel, he said, I cannot be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We think of those Roman powers. More often than not, those powers were destructive. The military power, that was often destructive. The educational, academic powers were often destructive to souls and the message that they brought. But the gospel is not like that. The gospel is not destructive. The gospel brings salvation. The gospel brings great deliverance. And so Paul recognized that there were powers greater than Roman powers. He realized that, yes, Rome represented this seat of authority. And yet Paul could look beyond that, and he saw the powers of hell. He saw the power of sin to condemn, to enslave, to enchain. But the gospel is able to go forth and to set free. Ebenezer Pemberton was the preacher at the ordination of that great missionary to the North American Indians, David Brainard. If you're not familiar with the ministry of David Brainard, it's often associated with Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards certainly saw it to be a great encouragement to David Brainard. But at that ordination service, Mr. Pemberton said, let not then any difficulties discourage, any dangers affright you. Go forth in the name and strength of the Lord Jesus, to whom you are now to be devoted in the sacred office of the ministry. Be not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Let zeal for the honor of God and compassion for the souls of men animate your public discourses and private addresses to the people committed to your charge. Now remember, David Brainard was not going to some comfortable charge in a posh suburb. He was going to minister to unreached people among the North American Indians. He was going into places where there was witchcraft, where there were various tribal practices associated with great darkness. And at his ordination, it was saying, this message came, don't be ashamed. Because while, yes, you will encounter great forces, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Paul was ready to preach because he was not ashamed of the power of the gospel against forces of darkness. I want to say then, secondly, that Paul was not ashamed because of its revelation of hope. Because of the revelation of hope in the gospel of our Lord, he was ready to preach as he saw the gospel as this revelation of hope. If you look with me at the words that follow in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What sense is it talking here? Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Remember, it's part of this message of the gospel that Paul is talking about in verses 15 and 16. The righteousness revealed here is the provision of righteousness. Remember, it was this text that Luther was greatly troubled over. For when Luther came to this, he thought of those words, the righteousness of God revealed. And he thought of that great truth that God is holy, that God is just. And as there is that revelation of God's holiness and justice, Martin Luther asked himself rightly the question, how can I stand before such a holy God? But the end of the text says, the just shall live by faith. And Luther was saying, that's not me. I'm not just. I'm not right. But in time the Lord opened his eyes to see that the just there, the righteous that live by faith, are those that have righteousness imputed to them. This is the great doctrine of justification. The righteousness of God revealed here is the provision of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And this is the very heart of the gospel. And Paul said, I don't need to be ashamed. I'm ready to go to Rome because this message has got a hold of me. And I'm to go and to preach it to others. You see, the law reveals righteousness. The law shows us the righteousness of God. He is perfect, but we are unrighteous. Of course, so many are ignorant of that very truth. They are ignorant concerning their own lack of righteousness. How many today put their confidence in man's inner good, man's ability to do some deed of kindness? But God's word paints a very different picture. Man is to Man is utterly helpless to form his own righteousness to please a holy God. He cannot. We fall short. But Paul says, here is the answer. There is a righteousness revealed. That is, all that are brought to Jesus Christ, his righteousness is imputed to them. Put to their account. They are declared right in Christ. And this is why Paul was unashamed. Remember, Paul had been a Pharisee. Paul had spent his early years seeking to earn righteousness. Paul had spent those early years seeking to formulate enough good works in order to be able to say, here is my righteousness. But like everyone else that sets out in that attempt, they will fail. So now Paul was not ashamed before God because of the righteousness of Christ. Paul had this assurance, the Lord had saved him, that he had no righteousness of his own, but he was accepted in our Lord Jesus Christ. He was not ashamed before God because of this righteousness. Paul knew that he was ready to appear before God. As Paul recognized this, I am ready to stand before the Lord, he then could say, I am ready to stand before men. I am ready to testify to men. You see, as we are brought to assurance of faith, it emphasizes to us, it ought to emphasize to us, we are to go forth and to preach unto men. Right before God, we are to declare it before men. Paul was not ashamed because of its revelation of hope, the revelation of hope in the gospel. And then I want to say finally, Paul was not ashamed because of its remedy for a perishing world. Because of its remedy for a perishing world. In verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in on righteousness. So having spoken of righteousness, Paul then goes on to speak of wrath revealed. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against. There's a righteousness that is for. But there's a wrath that is against. God's wrath then is not indifferent. God's wrath is against ungodliness. And Rome was certainly a city of great sin. Paul speaks of that in this first chapter. And of course, the great sins that are mentioned in the latter part of this chapter are not only in the city of Rome, but the reader could identify with what Paul is saying. Verse 27, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. The people of Rome knew something about that sin. Rome was a city of great sin. And yet Paul did not look at people in their sin indifferently. Paul did not look at people in their sin ignoring their need. But Paul saw that it is to such people that I am called to witness. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Paul saw, if souls are not reached and won, they will be lost. If souls are not reached and won, they will be lost for all of God's eternity. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And what was Paul's reaction? Surely it was this. People need the Lord. Hence he said, I am ready. And I am not ashamed. Surely in these days, we ought to see in this city and in our nation, people need the Lord. How few have any thought of the Lord? How few have any thought of eternity? As we look at them, do we blush concerning the message of the gospel? Do we fear them? Do we fear offending them? May our response be to these words that are before us tonight, I will not be ashamed. I am ready to communicate the gospel wherever the Lord would grant that opportunity. I'm not ashamed. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. If there's one in the meeting and you're not converted, or one listening to this message and you're not converted, here is hope for you. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Today may you leave your sin